Alex, you answer this time. I'm fucking done. Bring, bring. I'm done.
Bring, bring. I'm really scared. Bring, bring. And Jell-O.
Jell-O?
Yeah, Jell-O.
Hello, Alex.
Oh, hi. Who's this?
Who's this?
Who is
this?
Who is it, Alex?
I don't know. I'm asking. Who's this?
I'm asking you.
I asked you first. You knew my name already, in fact. You knew my name. You said, in fact,
who
you
is it, Alex? My
name. I don't know. He hasn't said.
Ah, shit!
Yep, okay. Yeah. So, all right, okay. He sounds upset that I got him.
So what's
in
your...
In that trap.
What's your...
Good.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Was it those telemarketers?
Oh, yes, you know what my favorite scary movie is. Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God. Oh, God, what is my favorite
scary movie? Alex, this isn't a good idea.
Okay, I gotta think. Is it a slasher? Is it a supernatural?
What are you doing? Alex, hang up.
Is something old?
Alex, we've seen enough of these movies. Just hang up.
The Michael Jackson musical.
You may
want to
answer...
I'm scared.
How is
that
a scary movie?
It's made by John Landis, and you know what? I gotta be honest. The first time I watched it, I was young. Michael Jackson was my friend. He was the guy who gave me good music, and then he turned into a werewolf, and that scared the living shit out of me.
Wasn't he like a cat man? More than
later,
a wolf?
Later. No, that's the little movie that he made with Joe Pesci as the evil person.
Yeah. Regardless, if you answer this
Moonwalker.
If you answer this next question correctly, I may spare the clowns that keep stealing your car.
Oh, you're in control.
What did he say? What did he say?
He said he would stop the clowns from stealing my car, which they've been doing consistently. It's a canon thing. To have that happen, I have to answer some sort of fucking stupid quiz.
Just give him a new car. Hang up.
Do you know how fucking expensive it is to get... Can you hold on one second? Do you know how fucking hard it is to get a car right now?
Steal one.
No, I'm not going to steal a car.
Got you, bitch. Got you, bitch.
Got me?
Yeah.
Hang up. Son of a bitch got me. All right, what's up? What's up, boys? You still there?
And they're already dead.
What happened? Alex, tell me what happened.
I think I procrastinated. Oh no.
Did they die? Is that a flaming car rolling down the street?
Oops, the clowns are dead.
Oh my God.
The clowns are dead.
Oh.
It's a ball of clowns.
Confetti coming out of it. Ugh.
Is that confetti or is that just their costumes burning off?
No, those are eyeballs. Those are their eyeballs exploding out of their heads.
Confetti for eyeballs? Oh my God, that's crazy.
Do you like that, huh? Do I have your attention now?
I mean, you have my attention. I don't like it. It kind of
just hang up.
The neighborhood seems pissed because they
ask him who he is, Alex.
I asked him. He didn't answer before.
Ask him again, Alex.
Who is this?
I'm the guy who just solved your car problem. That was also your car that was burning down the street.
No. My car problem was that people were stealing it, like clowns were stealing it.
Well, now it's on fire, full of clown bodies. You stupid son of a bitch.
I mean, ouch. That hurts. I thought we... we're using...
Is he calling you names?
Alex, what did he say to you?
Alex, give me the fucking phone. Give me the fucking phone, man. Who the fuck is this? Hello, Peter.
Oh, it's you. Alex, how did you not recognize a stupid voice?
Of course I recognize him. I just wanted you to take the phone.
What do you want?
You're in trouble. You sicked my brother on me?
No, he came on his own volition. I can hear you. It's on speakerphone.
I didn't sick anybody on you, dude.
Now how did he know where you...
Because you're a dumbass!
And your trail is easy to follow.
You might as well just be painting a fucking road wherever you go.
Okay, then riddle me this. Where am I calling from?
I don't care!
I don't care either.
Good, that means you don't know where I am.
You know, can I assume?
You don't care to...
No, wait, can I assume where you're calling from?
Sure.
A porta potty. I feel like you're swimming in a porta potty right now.
Jesus.
Fuck! Shit!
I knew it.
Up top! Yeah!
Alright.
Yeah, I can smell through the phone.
Fuck, okay, fine. Alright, you know what?
Watch out for the heroin needle. Oh.
How the hell do you know so much?
I got smell-o-vision through my phone. It's a new thing.
He called the first Scream movie, you know, so sometimes he has...
Chris, it's okay. Chris,
it's okay. Smell-o-vision in your phone?
Yeah.
Which card did you scratch? Which card?
one.
How did you get a porta potty smell through the foot one?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Feet and porta potties. I mean,
damn it! Don't tell him.
Unless you're like.
Are you still on the phone?
Jesus, we're still here. We're talking to you.
I don't want to, but here I am.
Okay.
Well, what the fuck do you want?
All right, then I'll ask you, Peter. What's your favorite scary movie?
Does that answer it? Ask me again.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Ask me again.
Okay, this is...
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh.
Are we done?
What's your favorite scary
movie? I don't know either. I'm kind of... Oh, it's Roar. You like Roar with the lions.
That's a scary movie?
Yeah, dude, that keeps me on my fucking edge of my seat every time. Are you fucking
It's called Roar?
Every time. Yeah, dude.
Oh, with the lions in the house?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that scares me every fucking
time.
That's
not a horror movie, is it?
It's horrific to me. Horrifying. Every time I watch it, I'm like, you're gonna get eaten. And he doesn't, but still, I'm like, you're gonna get eaten.
I don't know, I like the ritual and...
Oh, yeah, that's
Ritual
a good one.
Was
that's
a pretty good one.
Well, guess where I was tonight.
Where?
I was in your parents'
sperm bank
basement. And I found a lot of your Bionicle figures. They look
that's
real
where they are.
Nice.
I mean, that tells you he was there.
Yeah.
Real nice here. You answer
Did you
this
find the red one? Which one's your favorite?
Answer this correctly, and maybe
I'll... Oh, actually, go in the bin on the farthest to the left. You're
yeah.
going to see a bunch of masks.
Yeah.
What? Go
well,
and make it on
not,
the
I'm not,
yeah.
I'm not there.
What kind of Bionicle
I'm not
would
there
you
now.
Make? Hey, Voice, what kind of Bionicle would you make? Huh? Which one
Ice,
would you
make? Ice, air,
era?
Fire.
Yeah. This isn't
about
Dude,
me.
Dude, there's a whole world about this. There's magnetism. There's
yeah, we
plasma.
About, yeah, we talked about it on...
There's even, like, gravity and shit. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite power?
Yeah.
You're asking him what his favorite
What's
power?
Your favorite
Are you really leading
power?
Him down yeah. this road?
What's your
Do you
favorite
know
favorite
how long we're going to be here?
Power? What's your favorite Bionicle power, bitch?
Do you want to save your existing figures or not?
I can just buy more.
Yeah, we could just get more.
Son of a bitch.
Do you know how much I have, dude? I can just get more.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to get out here.
I think for one thing, you should get out of his parents' basement if you were in a porta potty recently.
Well, I guess I'm going back to his parents' basement and I'm lighting the whole damn house on fire.
Well, that's a step up. That's an escalation.
Let me call my mom.
Okay. Dude, get there. Just get out of there.
Hey, Mom.
But he's driving there. He's driving pretty fast.
Yeah, get the gun.
He's not playing any music, so I don't like
that. I actually get both guns.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Could you tell him to set the landmine?
Oh! Didn't you give my dad that flamethrower? Musk flamethrower?
Yeah,
because like,
I left once
ago?
Upon a time in Hollywood, yeah.
Tell dad get
to get you're just bluffing! You're just bluffing!
Is the dog been trained
the
on
one
biting?
The closet.
Where's the dog been trained to bite?
Oh, and feed Lolly a bunch of snacks.
Yeah. Get her used to flood.
Tell her to fart on command, too.
God.
All right, let's get out here.
Love you, Mom. Yeah, let me know how it goes. I love
good.
You, Mom.
Not good.
I'll fart on command.
Is he still on speakerphone? Hey, guy, are you still on speakerphone?
Don't say that. People ask for it.
Fucking course I am.
Are the lights on in the house?
No.
Go in.
Yeah, go in.
I think I'll go in through the garage here.
Sure. That's what we expected.
Where the fuck are you people?
They got him. Yeah. All right, I'll see you tomorrow, Mom. Yeah, I love you too. Okay. She saw her friend Joy today. She hasn't seen her in a while. No, I don't need anything from Costco either. Nope. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. Okay, I love you, Mom. Bye. Oh, tell Dad I said goodnight as well. Okay. Bye. Yeah, she got him.
Hi,
I
Ryan.
Your parents could be so angry.
I love that your parents killed the man you hate so much.
I mean, they birthed me. Where do you think I got it from?
Your ability to murder?
My burning rage.
Oh, okay, got it. Well,
We just witnessed a murder.
Well, no, you didn't.
Over the phone.
We didn't witness it. Chris, you were doing nothing the entire time but laughing at in particular moments.
How do you know I was laughing?
Because you were laughing. We could hear you laugh. It didn't sound like that, though.
Oh, sorry, well, I was a lot of gummy bears.
Sorry, I guess I just blacked out. That ever happened to you?
You can't say that every time.
Yeah, it has, asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has.
To me.
To me.
Can't you see? Well, everything.
Oh, I passed out too.
Yeah, you passed out.
There. Yeah. Who's in the chair now?
Oh, my God. Oof.
At least I noticed.
I can't ask it because it's happened to both of you.
Yeah, Alex, how does it feel to be blacked out?
Why'd you. You okay?
I mean.
Yeah, sorry. I got something in my throat.
Mm.
A little phlegm.
Ding. Ding. Ding.
Did we all just spit? Did I just start a train? That was pretty impressive.
And we all nailed it like that?
Yeah.
Like a
Where did the spit bucket come from?
You know what that tells me?
That's not a bucket.
We should all do porn. Together.
Bring, bring.
I think that's my girlfriend. I think that's my girlfriend calling. But I don't know.
Bring, bring.
All right, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, what? Yeah?
You killed my fucking clown! Oh, you fat bastard!
Wait.
I'm not even fat.
There's like no clone? Wait, you have a clone?
Oh, yeah. What about the clone?
You killed my clone!
We don't care.
You lit it on fire and just lit it up a shotgun shell.
You do with clones,
Do you have no other insult but to call the skinniest
guy you know
what,
fat? You know what? I'm gonna fucking get you for
chicken
this.
Chicken butt!
Okay, you're late on that.
I'm gonna get you for this. Just you wait.
Uh-huh.
I'll fuck you up. Uh-huh.
Hey, mister.
Uh-huh.
Are you still in a porta potty?
Blow me!
Okay, he hung up. Well, I'm not gonna.
I feel no fear.
I'm not gonna blow him if he's in a porta potty.
I feel no fear. That man gives me anti-fear. He gives me rage. He gives me confidence.
Fear is rage?
Yeah.
Dude, what if it's like... No. Wait, think about it.
You know the like burning sensation you get on the back of your neck? You get that with fear and rage. Is that just me? That ever happened to you?
I think that's called heartburn.
No, it's not from the heart, man.
Oh, it's from the back of your neck.
The back of my
back.
Neck.
Oh.
Back. That tingling burning sensation, it's like my Peter tingle in real life. But it just is there when I'm angry. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm angry. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, my penis tingle is different.
No, yeah, okay. Well, how do we know that he's not going to get better at this cloning thing?
I really have no faith.
Better? I can't believe he fucking did it in the first place.
Oh, yeah, he cloned
That's
someone.
A hype up.
Like, are we talking like Hugh Jackman in Prestige, or are we talking like Hardcore Henry?
Are we talking Hugh Jackman in Prestige or Hugh Jackman in Logan?
Oh. But there was only one other one of those.
That's what I'm saying. One or many? What are we doing?
I'm talking like hardcore, the many guys in the white jumpsuits.
If the clone is only CG, then we're fine.
Mm.
But if the clone is real, then he's no different than just the normal guy.
I mean, aren't all clones CG because they're all birthed from the computer?
No, there are no CG clones in the Prestige. It is all photography.
Right, but it's still like the, you know.
Listen, I'm just worried
this
guy...
Do we spoil the movie or do we not spoil the movie?
I'm just worried that
I don't
want to
spoil the movie here.
He already did.
Okay, well, if it's just his another fucking brother, then he's fine. He's just going to be 5 foot whatever.
We're
kick his
talking
ass anyway.
About Bale. We're talking about Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is legit cloning himself in Prestige.
Oh, yeah, with Tesla
you
and everything.
You spoiled the wrong thing.
What? You said I could. I feel safe. I feel like I'm in a safe place.
Anyway, I'll kick that guy's ass. I don't know. Like,
what?
This might get worse.
Dude, you do jack shit. What do you fucking care?
Because you're doing all the work. You take the words right out of my mouth.
Enabler.
Oh, enabler. Oh, yeah. You beat me to
the
punch.
You literally sit there and do nothing but laugh when shit's funny when it happens. You black out.
Oh, sorry for laughing at funny shit.
Well, you're not
you
blacking out.
Be.
You say you're blacking out, but you're not blacking out. You're laughing.
He is black. Half.
In
a way, he's always blacking
out.
At
that time, he's just being extra black.
In all moments, he is blacking out. You know, like
he's certainly blacking out the white parts.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're balanced. It's like yin and yang.
I just get this deep sense you just want me to paint me in white out.
What?
You want to paint me in white?
No, man, that'd be white face.
And everyone,
sweet podcast.
It's the guy over. We'll never know.
Let's just watch Bamboozle. Welcome everybody to the Mushroom Podcast. The guy not Twilight is probably gonna kill us all. So
happy St. Patty's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I am wearing happy Lucky Bear, Care Bear. That's blue.
Happy anything else? Green. Is there happy anything else?
Okay, listen. I literally had like a yellow, blue, white, gold kind of thing. Like in shade, it looked like blue. Like from the shade of the light. Of our room, they look.
That's question.
It looks blue.
Is there is there happy anything else at all?
Happy. It's not your birthday yet.
And soon.
When it's midnight, I'll send you.
All right, thank you.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Oh well.
It is almost 1 hour from now. It's an hour and 15 minutes.
Well, happy early birthday.
Alex. Thank you.
Nope, you're not gonna get that from me.
I don't want an early birthday.
I'm the out of the day kind of guy.
You know what? That's kind of... Okay, quick tangent. When I was born, I usually don't... I know what time I was technically born on my birth certificate.
You remember?
Yeah.
You were when you came out of the womb.
So, like, I don't consider myself, like, a new... Like, I don't consider my age going up until that time hits.
When you come out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I came out at 7 a.m.
Oh, dude, you're not... 11:44.
You're not going to get a happy birthday from me, then.
Like, 11:44.
I want it now. He's 11, still a dick.
I was 11:44 a.m.
11:44 a.m.
Right around lunchtime.
Nice.
10:02 a.m., apparently.
Yeah,
that doctor could not eat a sandwich.
Mom was very pleased because she did not want a Halloween baby, because that's just how she is.
Pagan.
Yeah. So, anyway, speaking of horror holidays, Scream 3.
Oh, God.
Thank you for not manifesting. Thank you.
Got it now.
You finally now get what I was doing for the last two.
Yeah. I just needed more.
Thank you for not manifesting the guy, not Twilight. That would summon him.
It's the ritual. I have to do it.
Yeah. To keep him away from our show, even though apparently that doesn't keep him away most times.
No, keep him away.
That doesn't keep him away.
Most of the time.
60% of the time, every time. So Scream 3.
Scream 3.
So we kind of had a powwow last week of just being like how we talked about how much, like, I laid it bare and help myself understand, like, why I really don't really like more grounded horror.
Yeah. Do you want me to play it?
I mean, sure. Okay. Like stuff like this really actually does kind of like scare me because like
which one playing right now?
Because like on max. I will say it did help me figure out like the start of a screenplay that I'm writing, but I won't give the pitch because I kinda wanna see where it goes myself. We kind of had a power. I decided it's like, okay, I'm gonna stick with this, you know, because I wanted, like, because I consider myself to be resilient, like, even if this does creep me out, because, like, we talked about how, like, I have to mute the phone calls, because, like, the phone calls are just, like, not just, like, cringe, but just, like, they're actually, like, genuinely, like, creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine, like, getting a phone call in the middle of the night, it's a guy.
Yeah, it just happened to us.
Yeah. Thank you.
I know exactly what that feels like.
Thank you. That's where I was going.
That thank you was amazing. So much behind that.
So
you had to be there.
You had to be there. Maybe we'll get on camera soon. Two and a half months, and then we'll know. So anyway, I decided I want to see this through.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stick with this because I just like let's just see where this goes. Alex, you had requested that me and Peter give our opinions on the movie first before you give context, just for this one.
I did, yes.
So I guess
you're not gonna get it.
So I guess that's just what we're gonna do here. Thank God Almighty I stuck with this. I think I liked this more than the previous two.
Okay.
I might have. This was much more of an enjoyable watch because somewhere in here, it was very early on, is when Sid showed up. It just clicked with me. Like something snapped in my brain. It's so freaking pivotal. It's great. Because it's great that we watched Evil Dead before this.
Really?
Because it just dawned on me. Sid's Ash!
Sid's Ash!
Sid
is amazing.
In this weird, goofy, fucked up world.
Can't stop killing.
It's all centered around her and her misery. She can't, like, be at peace, essentially. This is going to keep going for her. As far as I know.
Unless the family tree.
I've not seen 4, 5, or 6.
But think about it. I mean, there's only so many people in these family trees. I mean, eventually it's just going to deplete. And there's just going to be, some crazy lunatics just going to like,
yeah, I want to do it because I want to be famous.
But like,
was the last guy.
No, but there was the mom.
Right.
So like, eventually these family trees are just going to die out. And then, you know.
Sure.
Then I'll just be the loony.
One day all psychos will soon die.
Ever happen to you?
I don't know why, but that's what I do when I slur my speech. It just felt like as soon as that happened, when we see that she's like involved in like a call center, like kind of thing, like a work from home, like literally Sid was working from home before anybody else was, which I find funny.
As isolated as possible, as alone as possible.
She would flourish in COVID.
It really makes sense considering the very last thing that happens.
Larry?
The very last
thing. Okay, I'm not going to let that slide.
Who's Larry?
The very last thing that happens.
Larry David?
In the last movie. The very last thing that happens in the last movie is why there's a lot of bells in there. She's just walking off alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where she ends up here, just alone.
I'm glad that, like, I'm glad that, like, Dewey still is, like, active in her life. Like, somebody.
Mm-hmm. And her father.
And her father, yes. That was nice to see. But, like, seeing Sid, like, kind of, like, she goes through all this traumatic experience, it could just be easy. She could just be out there, like, and just fuck all, you know. But no, she's paying it forward. She's trying to help people out. Which I do like. Also, woman, dry your fucking legs.
That's what I said.
Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Well, you're getting in clothes or like lingerie. I don't know what the fuck that is. And your feet are still wet. Like, what are you doing? Dry your legs.
At least your feet.
Yeah.
Just wipe them off.
That's gonna crack your floor.
Like the head. Her head is dry.
Yeah,
completely dry. How are her feet wet? You know what? Fuck it. I don't like it.
Like, you need a carpet floor. That's what a carpet floor is for.
No continuity, man.
Yeah.
No continuity.
So anyway, this was a much better viewing experience because, like, I basically did just let, this was me completely letting go of who the killer was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I wasn't trying to figure it out. I was just like, oh, could it be, the gal trying to get closer to Sid? Oh, could it be, this person? I was like, I wasn't actively trying to figure it out.
You're just having fun.
I was just having fun. Because since Ash, and then this just became Evil Dead. It just clicked. It's like, oh, this is Evil Dead. Oh, I get it now. Oh, there's Jay and Silent Bob. Okay, now I'm good. This is what I needed. Now I would probably go back to the last two.
That's interesting. I will say they will never get this goofy again, but I hope that you still feel that feeling because they never lose their sense of humor. They never get like goofy. A lot of people, even when they were making this, were like Scooby-Doo-ish is kind of the vibe that they were feeling at the time. But
yeah.
I'll get into like why it happened. But I certainly do feel that here too, that there is like a sense of fun in this one.
Yeah.
A little bit of like, just in the experience of watching it. But the Once in the Future certainly do have a sense of humor still.
So, yeah,
This was. Yeah, I did enjoy. I enjoyed watching this like more. Maybe it's not as good as the previous two, but like I was more loose.
Mm-hmm.
Like once I figured it out, I was like, oh, this is now just Evil Dead. This is like Army of Darkness, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm totally okay now.
Which is funny. I wish they would have mentioned that in these movies when they talked about trilogies.
Yeah. Like, this is my boomstick!
Pretty much.
Like a Randy in the videotape just went like, boomstick, or like something like that. Like, threw in an Evil Dead, like a groovy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or something like that.
He does talk about Star Wars, but like...
I mean, the lead... Even the comparison of, like, the leads. Like, Sid... Okay, no. Ash is played by Bruce Campbell.
Dude.
Sid is played by Neve Campbell.
Dude, I'm sorry. That's an unbelievable comparison. I never thought of that. I've never heard that. That's fucking good, man.
She's Ash.
Army of Darkness. Yeah, considering these three films, I agree. That's fucking great.
That's cool.
That's super good.
Like, yeah, I do. So, like, yeah. Once that clicked for me, I was like, okay, let's go. I'm ready to go now. Liv Schreiber, Cotton, him being like a.
TV
what kind
show
of
host?
Show is that?
Possibly like Geraldo, I would think. Maybe Jerry
Steve
Springer.
Steve Wilkos?
Maybe, yes. Because Steve Wilkos worked for Jerry Springer and.
Right, but like, not as serious, right?
Like, no, I see 100% Cotton coming.
I was thinking like Dr. Oz, but like.
He's not a doctor.
He's selling something.
He's selling something through the show.
He's selling his cotton shirts.
Like, no, he's selling himself.
Exactly. So I think it's.
I guess that doesn't make you wrong.
No, like a Jenny Jones or a Ricky Lake. Someone who's like an actor before and turned into this, but he's like supposed to be in script. He's trying to be an actor.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, what's that Navy SEAL script doing? He's in Stab.
He probably treats his writers just as well as Drew Barrymore. So anyway, I did enjoy that part and just like the whole like I do like how this movie really just like there was like I was also okay hold on wait Patrick Dempsey
yeah
that's for me I didn't really know anybody else any of the other like actors in this so like his appearance was like a surprise for me. It's like, oh, Patrick Dempsey.
I thought
that was the one for me.
I was hoping that you would have been like, maybe he's the killer just for fun because that would be.
It was kind of weird.
Franchise.
You know what happened?
He has been the killer.
You know what happened? I was just like, I was leaning towards it, but then I'm like, wait, I thought Dewey was the killer in the first one. No, it can't be him.
Well, because I was thinking Transformers 3. He has that twist in that movie.
Also, by the way, real quick, side tangent. Some help that dog is. Dog's a red herring.
Literally.
Why would you get that? Okay, I would get a German Shepherd.
I thought the dog was the killer.
Get a German Shepherd. That'll solve all your problems. Nobody ain't fucking with you.
She needs a golden
retriever. A pit bull.
She needs a golden retriever.
The dog does cower in a corner when she wakes up from her dream from her mom.
He's like, oh, the dog from Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Didymus. No, that was the guy. I mean, like, the actual, like, sheep dog.
Oh, yeah. What was the dog's name? Okay. He screams at the entire fucking movie.
Right.
Adabrosia! Adabrosius!
Yes.
Ambrosius!
Yeah.
Ambrosius.
He's trying to think of the name as he's calling it.
And Ambrosius! He's like cruising the guitar.
He does not beat that dog.
Ding, ding, ding,
wait,
ding,
ding,
wait,
wait.
That was me before.
That is not my joke. People have done that joke before. So, yes.
It's a guitar joke. People do that all the time. Wait.
Anyway, yes, the dog does cower when she has the mom dream and she wakes up.
But like, yeah, I'm surprised that like, she's not living off of like,
welfare or something.
Like, is that, like said, like, yeah,
government,
again, like
government money,
witness protection.
It's probably
royalties from these Stab movies. They're based on her.
Yes, but she didn't sell the rights.
But
Gail,
no, but
Gail wrote
at the same time, she would have, oh, that is true. They're not on the best of terms. Like that awkward hug. That was really funny. Like, oh.
I can't wait to get into this, guys. Oh my god.
Okay, here's the thing. Gail, what happened?
She cut her bangs really short.
In what way?
Sure, but like, okay,
I was very much confused by Gale and Dewey.
Yeah, we like
in this movie. I thought we had a very solid arc in the last movie.
No, I was gonna ask you guys. So Peter was very sure that they got together, like at the end of that movie, that they were like together.
I thought Gale had completed her arc. Honest to God.
Fair enough. Okay, so go ahead.
So they kind of did it again, and I'm just like, I'm not feeling this.
Okay. They fell back in love.
No, but like they did it, and they just rehashed.
I agree.
Their arc from
it was the same exact thing.
Yeah. Now I do think that they bring up some interesting points, which is that after he was hurt, she took care of him and nursed him in Woodsboro. That is awesome.
I really wish, like, that was another thing. Like a really quick tangent. Another tangent. Sorry, I'm going all over the place. I really wish, like we know how like Dewey kind of like had that whole like left hand thing, in the second movie after the events of the first. I really wish like Dewey had like a cane here, like he walked around and like with like
a cane. If he's gonna walk around with a limp, you'd think the character would get a cane.
Yeah, get the man a cane or something like that. A crutch,
or
something,
or a knee brace.
I mean, it almost seems like the second stabbing magically healed the nerve damage. The scar tissue did protect
him. Or have him, like, do, like, those hand exercises.
Something, yeah.
Like, within Doctor Strange.
He does have a little bit of a slow pace here, but yeah, not what he had before.
Yeah, he does still walk. He does still walk with a limp.
A little funny.
So, yeah, with Gale and Dewey, I was very confused.
I'm like, what happened in 2 years that you guys fucking hate each other? Or he hates you.
Because Gale, like, she only knows one. Like, I get that part where she's like, this is all she's ever known, so I guess it's hard for her to really, like adjust to, like, life without all of the, like, being in the celebrity, in the celebrity sphere of, like, trying to be an accomplished, like, letting go of the goal of, like, being an accomplished author and, like, being recognized. I understand, like, that's hard and that can be tough. So, like, for her to fall back on old patterns, you know what? Fine.
Well, it's not even that. There was an actual show called 60 Minutes 2. And she's saying left to go do that. And then, yeah, that show got canceled. And she's just been staying in Hollywood ever since. Giving these lectures, doing whatever. But I don't think she was chasing another book at that time.
I was really hoping that she would, say nothing.
Nothing.
I was really hoping that when she was in that lecture hall, she's like, she's saying nothing. On earth or in heaven, will get me back on that island.
Ha!
And then hard cut to a dinosaur talking to her.
We have to go back to that island. Jeff Goldblum's like,
William Macy. Oh, this just comes out of nowhere. Anyway,
I still like those more than Jurassic World.
Alan. I personally thought it was redundant.
Okay.
Like, but still, I came around on it. I'm just like, okay, fine. But like, can we just,
do you like that?
Are they a thing or not?
Do you like that they're getting married?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm gonna laugh. I know this isn't true, but if they're divorced by the fourth movie again, and they get back together, I'm done.
Mm. Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
Like, okay. In this movie, they are fully married. They, I believe, had come back from a trip from the Bahamas before they started doing this.
I saw the credits.
They have the same names, yeah. So, yeah, but well into their marriage at this point.
Hmm. So, yeah, there's that. Let's see. It kept calling the director Roman, and I can't help but think, is this guy named after Roman Polanski?
I think that's a hint, yes.
I mean, based on what I've heard from Roman Polanski, that's probably
considering
pretty spot
that's a
on.
Theme, considering that's a theme in this movie, yes.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Sexual exploitation of women in Hollywood.
I don't know. Like, also, thinking back on it, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going to. Okay, you're going to have to talk me off this cliff because I'm starting to back
up. Shut up!
I'm starting to back off it on my own. I don't feel like there were there were enough signs that pointed towards Roman as the killer. Like, I know it doesn't have to. This movie, like the previous two, have not really I think the first two are actually obvious. I think the first two are not obvious, but they do the work. Yes. But I will say this. Okay, so and let's think
about it. Yeah, like my thing is like he is obsessed with the story and trying to like profit off of it. Like he is passionate about telling this story. You know, like that was my hint to, like once it was revealed, I didn't really think it was him at all.
If he just survived it, he probably would have continued directing stab movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, yeah. Well, like, anyway, sorry. Like, I cut you off there, but like, yeah.
No. I think, here's the thing. It is a little convoluted all over the place. They put a lot of, I think Dempsey and the short-haired Emily Mortimer chick who's going to play Sid in the movie. I think those are probably the two that they lean the heaviest on. The woman playing Gail, Parker Posey, probably not so much.
I thought it was Hilary Swank and I was so confused.
No, that is Parker Posey. She's a famous comedic actress. She was very big at that time.
Mm-hmm.
A great performance in like Josie and the Pussycats. All of the Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show that I talked about, she's in all those. I don't think they lean on her being the killer that much, despite the fact that she is the killer in Stab 3. I find it very interesting that they do not explain how he gets Sid's number from Dewey's phone. The only explanation is that when Jennifer, the girl who's playing Gail, takes the phone away from Dewey right here, that Roman must have got it because they have a previous relationship of having sex. He must have gotten it from there. Outside of that, Roman...
I was about to say, it's the only other time that Dewey gives his phone away to the detective.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's when I was just like...
He just gave it to Jennifer a second.
I missed that.
Exactly. I was leaning towards the detective for a while, too.
He also does the same thing Billy does. He creates a murder in which he's supposed to be present for it. He's the one actually talking to Sarah on the phone when it happens. And then the cops pull him into the precinct because there's a clone phone. He is called in for questioning. And he's like, I didn't do it. Like, if you watch the movie again, like, that's all he does the whole time. He's like, nah. And then he's never around. And then
except
like,
when he's having his film shut down.
The thing that tricks him, though, is that he dies in the basement. That is the real trick. That actually got me. Outside of that, I think they do enough work to be like, he's just not in the room most of the time. And when he is around, he's whining about his movie. So, like, where is he most of the time? But they do the trick of going, the police questioned him. But Billy did the same fucking thing. In fact, he taught Billy how to do it. So, like, that shit's really funny to me. But, like, I will agree, it's not as tight. It doesn't feel as tight.
Tight.
Doesn't feel like it's been thought through as clearly, yes. But I do think they make it possible for one person to have done all this.
I like how much, like, stronger, like, Sid gets throughout these movies so far.
Yeah.
Like, in how much ass she kicks.
Yeah, she does.
She's just a badass.
Because that's where she's just like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Fuck you. Come on, let's go.
Like, that's the thing here. I wouldn't have chose this series if it was just for the predominant amount of time a different movie of different teenagers getting slaughtered at. This isn't like Jason to me. I'm not picking those. Those are fun, but for different reasons. It's new people almost every single time. Mm. I wanted to pick something that had a character growth to it, that had people that you could latch on to and understand that they are here for a reason. Like, they do that work, and it's one of the most impressive things I've taken away from this a lot, too. One of the most important aspects is the characters in this.
Mm.
At least for the first three.
So, yeah, that whole end fight, like, that was, I thought, like, really, that had me on the edge of my seat, because I was just like,
just beat the shit out of him?
Yeah, like, the Randy tape really was just like, okay, so, like, I like how they establish rules and then start to break them in unique ways, but still kind of, like, stick to them. Like, of the killer being superhuman, but he just has a bulletproof vest on.
Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck did he get that? Hollywood. How do you get a real bulletproof vest on a Hollywood set? That's funny.
Well, think about the
armor, I guess?
How do you get the fucking thing that does the voices?
How does anybody... They need... Okay, Peter, you know what? You said it last week. It needs to be reset. Stop making those.
Yep.
Stop making them.
Stop making the mask. Stop making the costume. Stop making that device. Like, stop.
Too late. This world is fucked.
We need to broaden, like, caller ID.
We're halfway through the series now, right?
When did that stop? When did she stop using caller ID? She used it in the second movie.
But she's not in the houses anymore. She's not in her house anymore, so she can't just keep caller ID with her. That's why I'm curious. By the time we get to, like, 7 or 6 and 7, even 5, it's like everyone has a cell phone.
I'm wondering if he's
smartphone even, caller ID. Like.
I know for a fact that Roger Jackson is in all of these movies. He's in all of them. So that's the voice so shows up in some regard. What I don't know is what are they going to do for phone stuff for 5 and 6? Is it even going to be phone stuff? Are they going to do text messages differently? And this one, he's changing his fucking voice. So, like, I mean, he already predicted AI voice changers, so what are we going to do?
I know. I was like, this is just AI
scams. I'm intrigued. Now, we're getting to the point right now, I'm really starting to get intrigued about how they change things from now on. But, yeah, I do think... how did you feel about Roman controlling Billy and Stu? Not controlling Billy and Stu, but like egging on Billy
directing
and Stu.
Him.
Directing them, yes.
Oh, that's what he was talking about.
That shit freaked me out. Like, you were the
okay, you know what? That does make sense. Because guys that crazy can't really operate without somebody... like guiding them.
You know what that
directing
also
them. Directing them. Thank you.
You know what that also means for fun? That means that we now know who was stalking Sydney and Tatum in the grocery store in the first movie and who's stalking them outside her house. It has now been confirmed to have been Roman the entire time.
It was me all alone.
So okay. So now the lore.
He was making a movie also while okay. The logistics of making a movie and stalking somebody in Woodsboro, which is renowned of being a very remote, tight-knit community. I don't know, Chief.
Well, no, I don't know. He wasn't making a movie at that point.
In the second movie.
No.
He's in the second movie.
No, he's not in the second movie.
Okay.
He's only in the first. He's the one egging on Billy and Stu in the first movie. He doesn't do anything with Billy's mom. Billy's mom just happened on her own. But he's egging on Billy and Stu. So while Billy and Stu are in the store talking to Randy, he's farting around with Sid and Tatum at the grocery store and all that shit. So he's involved with that murder, filming it. He's filming a lot of that stuff. And he shows it by the footage he has here at the end of this movie. But he's not involved in the second one. At that point, he is more than likely going to college to be a filmmaker. We know right now because she broke his MTV Video Music Awards. So he's gotten awards for music videos before. So he's been a director for a bit. He had to earn the position to be in this point. But it seems like he always wanted to be in Hollywood and to be a director because he knew his father was Milton. And he just like snapped at one point. Mm. But yeah, so he was always around in the first film. And the second film, it just sort of happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I also am getting, like, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm not sure if I actually feel this way, but the thought did cross my mind, just being like, God, the first movie had some pretty unique kills, like with Rose McGowan, like her getting crushed by the freaking door.
Garage door, yeah.
The garage door, yeah. The second like one Stu getting crushed by a television.
Yeah. Second one with the guy in the car on the pole.
Yeah. This one did not wow me in that sense.
Yeah, no, there weren't a lot of unique kills.
No.
Like, the
no.
victims got stabbed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, he's about to... Okay.
I won't, but you're right.
Like, they just... Like, the victims get stabbed, that's it. And, like, if you think about... Like, if I think about it, just, like, the thought of somebody... watching somebody stab you to death is kind of horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it's like...
You don't even see the knife go in.
The first one was like straight up gore porn. Like guts everywhere.
Exactly.
They said, we're having a good time, but the violence is real. Mm-hmm. And that was the point of the movie. These kids are talking about horror movies and then horror actually shows up in their lives. That's not the case here. The two most unique deaths here are...
I can't even name him.
Tyrone, when he gets pulled off the road, stabbed a few times and thrown over the railing, and the guy who blows up.
Yeah, the guy who blew up from the inside. He blows up first.
No, actually, it blows up in front of him.
Is that what's happening?
Yes. And he just gets engulfed by the flame. I know that now, after we watched it.
Okay.
I'll explain why later.
It's a hell of a way to go.
And I was like, and I thought we thought that was stupid. How did he know someone do the gas? And then you watch the movie, and that guy's literally smoking in every single scene. So, yeah. He would be the one who would pull out the lighter.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I will say that is pretty good.
Yeah, they did the work.
A little bit.
They did the work a little bit. Otherwise, yeah. This was a much better viewing experience. Like, now that I understand that at least these first three Scream movies is Evil Dead, I kind of want to go back to the first two.
Yeah, okay.
Try them again.
Yeah.
To see that sense. Because, like, Ash lost his innocence in Evil Dead 1, or Evil Dead 1 and 2, I guess.
Yeah.
And then it's just a continuation of that in 2, and then here's 3. And it's just, now that I know what this really is, I feel inclined to go back and try them again.
How did you feel about the last shot and the ending for Sid?
Good for her for now?
I think, I mean, there is
a bit of news.
It was meant to be a trilogy concluder. It was meant to be a conclusion to her arc at the time that they made it.
Mm. There is news, but I don't know if I want to say it.
Don't. Because I know what it is too.
Okay. I won't. Anyway.
We'll talk about it later then, or if you want to text me about it, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, like, that's pretty much all I got. It's just like,
how did you feel about Randy?
That was probably the funniest part of the movie, honestly. Mm. Just being like,
you can't get rid of him. He's that essential. He had to come back.
He's probably the smartest character.
I said he's so essential. You have to keep him in the fucking movie.
You have to listen to his insane ramblings about how movies work.
And he was right. He was fucking right the whole time.
I will say this. He does not come back again.
Cool. I'm done. I'm fucking done then.
I do want to say, I like how
catch it ever.
I was hoping that, like, Sid would just look into the camera at some point.
Dude,
like, it's so meta.
Oh my god, dude. Wes Craven in the director's commentary says that every single actor in this movie at some point look in the camera.
In this movie?
Yes. Yes. The only one that I caught.
Damn it!
Doesn't Gail do that?
Everyone does it. He says it every.
I'm pretty sure I caught Gail doing it.
At the very end when he
I didn't catch anyone.
To Gail, David Arquette says into the camera. There's a bunch of them, and so they're doing exactly that. They are literally looking into the camera.
It's like Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah. That running bit when they start.
You're going to see it more in some of the movies we watch with Naked Gun.
But, like, yeah, I like how self-referential it is and how it's just, like, this meta thing, especially when Sid's walking through the set of the first movie and she's going back through, because you can't go all the way back to Woodsboro. Like, you have to make that set. And they faithfully recreated it.
Craven's money. Own personal money. Because the studio wouldn't do it.
Oh, I can't wait for you to start talking. I liked it. This was a...
What did you think of the woman playing Gail's actress? Parker Posey.
Not Hilary Swank?
Not Hilary Swank.
I felt like she was supposed to be funny, but I wasn't really laughing all that much.
I found her funny.
I'm a huge Parker Posey fan.
I like just her shadow following her everywhere she goes.
I think that's fair, but
like, I think that was probably the funniest part.
She's just along for the ride now.
Like, yeah.
She's like, I don't want to go anywhere else. You're probably the safest person to be around.
She is a lot, though. Like, look at this outfit. Look at how she's acting. I agree, that's a lot.
But, like, yeah, I wasn't... Like, yeah, I wasn't, like, it wasn't, like,
knock my socks off.
You don't have to like her. It's okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like knock my socks off funny. I but like still, it was just like, oh, this is just like kind of like funny in a way of just being like, oh, like she's just like. In more than one way, she is basically Gale.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But also a kooky actress.
Like, the worst part of Gale. Like, if Gale was dialed to, like, 11.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. I that's pretty much what I thought of her. Like, I didn't see her as, like, oh my gosh, like, I need to see her in more comedic movies. It was more just like, oh, this is just a funny little thing. I wasn't, like, fair. Laughing my ass off the whole time.
I think she did a lot of great 90s movies, and again, she worked with great comedians and improvisers in Christopher Guest movies. She was recently in Beau's Afraid, and she was on White Lotus, so she's killing it these days. Mm. But again, the Christopher Guest movies are probably, that's a career highlight for anybody. Like, she's playing with some heavy hitters.
Patrick Warburton.
I was going to say, Patrick Warburton.
Hey.
How about right before he dies, he's like, Dewey, I'm just making sure no one's going to claw you up like your sister. What a fucked up thing to say to somebody.
That really is fucked up.
Well, he's dead now, so.
That's not even how she died.
However, he did warn them that there was a killer in the house before he died. He did do that.
Yeah, it was honorable. He fucking walked over there and was like, oh,
yep.
And then he collapsed. Just his presence, them seeing him, was enough to let them know that there was a killer.
I did my job, your sister's dead.
Fuck yourself.
At the very beginning of the movie, when they're sitting there with
Dewey,
when they're sitting on the set at the very beginning,
Dewey,
when Gale and Dewey meet again for the first time, and everyone's on the set and they're all meeting forever, the guy who's standing there in the middle of the scene with Roman and Milton is Roger Corman. The guy who's made all these careers that we've talked about before. So Roger Corman is the president of the studio.
Hashtag back to Corman.
Yeah.
That's the real bit, really.
Oh, and last
thing. Not Burton.
Last thing just for this movie that I know is a hit. The guy right there, Dempsey's partner, that is the voice of the Ninja Turtle Raphael in all the movies we watched on the show.
Oh my god, he is.
Really? He is our live action.
He was the Ninja Turtle.
Exactly. I can't believe it.
That's so true.
Yeah, Peter
I kept saying that the what was his name? Rowan?
Roman
looked like a Ninja Turtle.
But it was the other guy. It was the other guy.
I think it was his mouth. His mouth and like really big teeth.
Scott Foley.
No, it's his eyes.
It's his eyes. Look at his fucking eyes and tell me he's not a Ninja Turtle. No, there's an actual Ninja Turtle in this movie the whole time.
Yeah, dude, and there was a whole Ninja Turtle the whole time.
Oh my god.
That's the last one of the thing.
Real quick.
Hey, Dewey. That actor went kablooey.
I love it.
Oh my god, it's the eyes.
It's the structure around his eyes. It's like his eyebrows, the
like it really it is. Looks, I think it's his mouth too.
He has a big boned face.
His whole head's a Ninja Turtle head. I don't know.
Crazy.
I hope I never meet him in my life because
like he's talking and his head doesn't move.
I'm gonna have to tell him.
Anything else?
No, I'm like yeah.
I'm glad I may stir more up when we talk.
I'm softening up.
Yeah, okay? I need you to spill the beans. I've waited too long.
I really thought you would like this one the most. And I'm appreciative that you watch this. Like I said, it's not going to, as far as I know, we're not going to get this silly again. Mm-hmm. But I hope we stay with a sense of sarcasm, a sense of satire to it. And if you like, we get to 5 and 6 and that's genuinely like, I don't want to fucking deal with this. That's fine. I appreciate the fact that you made it through the original trilogy because I agree. That Evil Dead analogy is fucking amazing. Yeah. I think that's amazing. 4 through 6, that's a whole nother territory. But what's interesting to me is that this movie, like the other two, is a lot like an outlier. So you just want me to go into it.
Dude, yeah. I can't wait anymore. You've alluded to this shit all fucking week. I've been living with you all week.
This shit's pretty nuts. All right, so...
Okay, I'll be right back. I'm just kidding.
So the first two movies come out, And this is a pretty big deal when they do, because when you have a hit and you have enough time to capitalize on that hit before anybody else makes their own version of it, mm-hmm. you're in the money. And that's where the Weinsteins were actually on top of their game when it came to the second movie. They capitalized right away. They're like, we're getting a second movie out right away. If you have a blueprint for the second one, we're doing it right away. That meant there would be no copycats. No one could get on top of them before they could get the second movie mm-hmm. out. I want to say three things about the second movie before I move forward. They have to do with it. One of them doesn't, but I forgot to mention Tobey Maguire was up there for Mickey.
What the?
Holy shit! Tobey Maguire was up there for Mickey.
Oh! I've been robbed.
But he
that was the Bully Maguire that we missed out on.
Do you think he would have gotten Spider-Man? If so? And the reason I think yes,
maybe
is
not.
Peter mean... and I watched a Wes Craven movie where Ted Raimi, Sam Raimi's brother, is in it, and he looks exactly like Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. I showed Peter, and we were like,
"That's Peter
him.
Parker."
So I wonder if he hired Tobey Maguire because he looks like his brother as Peter Parker. So like, I think it was inevitably always going to happen.
And
since Raimi's a horror guy, he probably would have seen this.
I would think so. That's an outlier thing. Okay, second thing. When Kevin Williamson would write the script for the second movie, he was really quick, had to get a couple of things done real fast, and he had a really good relationship with Craven at that time, and it would be the case where he would write the scene up to when somebody was about to die, and then he would stop. Like, he'd say, Cece runs up the stairs of the frat house, and he throws her through a plate glass window, and then he would go, in parentheses, and then Wes does something scary.
Ha!
They knew each other so well that he was like, just leave it to fucking Wes. I don't need to bother with this part. That's not my job. So, they got that rapport going really well.
That's
the
cool.
Third thing is, in that second movie, Wes Craven had so many problems trying to get a R rating in the first movie, he had a plan for the second one. And I think this is just fucking ingenious. He shot the movie originally, Scream 2, with a lot more swears and with a lot more gore and with a lot more violence. He shot everything he needed plus more so that when he gave it to the MPAA, they would go, this is too violent. This swear way too much. And he's like, you're right. I should take some of this out. And then he'd show them the real cut he wanted. And then they'd be like, oh, well, this is much better. So he would manipulate the MPAA him exactly what he wanted through his edits.
Oh my God. It's like me with my homework.
Fucking amazing idea.
I've done that.
By just showing them really what he was going to do with it.
That's so funny.
So we went with an over-the-top cut. And then gave him the real cut.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So they would accept his real cut.
So,
genius.
Scream 3.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
There's one thing I did miss.
Sure.
Did anybody catch, like, when they were talking about, like, handing out different scripts throughout the internet?
What?
And still nobody knew until 2016?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what'd you say?
He's talking about how...
this movie...
That they had like three different scripts and three different
endings. Oh, yeah.
They knew what they were doing. Not only that, Sarah says that...
They hid that shit in plain sight.
That's not the only one they did. So.
Scream 3.
It's now 2000.
This time it's personal.
Okay, so let's say...
Actually,
Scream,
it is.
Scream 2 comes out and it's a big hit again. Now... They can't make the third movie right away because they made a deal with Wes Craven and that he gets to make a movie of his own kind, whatever he wants to make, literally a blank check. He decides to make a drama starring Meryl Streep about a teacher going to a inner city school and teaching them violins for like decades. And it got her an Oscar nomination, actually.
Mm.
This is in 1999. It's called Music of the Heart. And it's, does all right, but it's not like everyone was pounding on Wes Craven's door to make more movies like that. But he still had to make Scream 3. And he was like, let's make Scream 3, like everyone wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a bit of a problem. In that period, he wasn't the only one who was pushing back time. Neve Campbell was getting really big. A, she was on a TV show, but B, she was getting a bunch of jobs. So in the span of this, she had booked a couple of movies as well as needing to finish the last season of Party of Five. Along with that, you had Kevin Williamson. Kevin Williamson at that time was very busy. This guy was writing several seasons of a network television show. He wrote two Scream movies. He wrote a Halloween movie. He wrote for The Faculty. And then he also wrote a movie that he was going to direct. As well as, God, I'm missing another one. I'm missing a third one somewhere. So I Know What You Did Last Summer, which was a huge hit in its own right. He's writing all of these movies within the span of 2 years. And by the year 2000, there's a lot of movies like this. So slasher films already are starting to get a little redundant. If you're not Kevin Williamson, you're not writing like Kevin Williamson. So it's not going to be as big. It's only his movies that are really growing in this regard. So by the year 2000, people are already kind of like, you know, if you're not Scream, then who cares? But Kevin Williamson is really fucking busy. So the studio goes to Craven and they're like, hey, you made your movie, Meryl Streep, she got an Oscar nom, let's make Scream 3. And he's like, cool, let's get Arquette and Cox, let's get them. Courtney Cox is a huge fucking star on Friends. She's up to the point where she's making $1 million an episode at this point. Like, she is probably one of the biggest stars, if not the biggest star in this movie. But she loves Craven and she loves Arquette and they still want to do it. So she's the first one on, she makes time right away. And they're set. They're going to go on a trip to the Bahamas, come back, and they'll be fine.
$1 million.
Craven is...
An episode!
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do a damn thing.
No, she doesn't. But she loves being in the movies. And then that leaves Neve Campbell and Kevin Williamson. Well, their schedules are fucking insane. And they can't get them both. And Wes Craven is like, well, can't we just wait a little bit longer so we can get them both? And the studio said, no, you have to choose. Neve Campbell or Kevin Williamson. What are you going to do? And Wes is like, well fuck.
Like I know, and like, it...
Obviously, Neve Campbell is in this.
I'm trying to put myself in, like...
I don't know.
You have the guy who has made this genre in this current moment. And then you have the woman who is the lead.
Now remember, you have an outline. Not a script, but you have an outline.
Yeah, you have an outline that you can play with.
Yes. And you can't wait. Gotta choose.
Why would you not have Neve in there?
The answer is Neve.
Like, come on.
It was the right answer at the time.
Like, that's... I'm just thinking heart and soul. Like, Kevin Williams is the brain behind this. Like,
I agree. I'm not saying that I don't agree. But however,
it's Neve.
People are going to see Neve. Williamson is behind the scenes. Now, people don't know what he's doing, but if you're smart like us, you'd probably pay attention. Yeah. When people go to these movies and they see Kevin Williamson as a writer a lot, they're like, huh, I'm seeing his name a lot. But they don't look into it.
Yeah.
Like, internet isn't that big unless you're a fucking nerd, which is why they still had to be very hard with this when they came to the filming. But, anyway. Williamson says yes. Okay, I have to go direct Teaching Mrs. Tingle. It was the script I wrote before Scream. I really care about this thing. I'm going to go do it. Here is my outline, and I want my contract. Anyone who writes this script after me, they got to follow my outline. All right, guys. I'm off.
Okay.
So he goes off, and the studio hires Aaron Kruger.
Oh, God.
Does that name sound familiar to you, Chris?
Brother of Freddy?
Obviously, people made that joke at the time, but you know this guy. You love this guy. This guy is comforting to you. In more ways than one, buddy. Why, this guy wrote about 2, maybe even 3 of the Transformers movies. And I'm also really gonna hurt you with this one. Motherfucker wrote Maverick, buddy. How did you not see his name up there? And the fucking credits. I was waiting for you to be like, Aaron Kruger wrote this? You watch Maverick so much, how do you not see his name?
I associate Maverick more with
Joseph
Krasinski.
Yes, you do. Oh, but it was
God.
Aaron Kruger who helped write that thing.
Holy shit.
There you go, man.
And I've got something for you too.
I know McCrory had a writing credit. Somebody else did. I didn't know who it was at the time.
Aaron Kruger. Now, Aaron Kruger took the job because he's like, Wes fucking Craven. Yeah, I want to work for Wes fucking Craven. Absolutely.
And everyone said. Keyword four.
It's a writer. He's okay. Like, yeah, I want to do it. He'd written a couple of things that were interesting. A movie called Arlington Road. I've always wanted to see. I've never sat down and watched it, despite knowing the ending. And so, now we come to what was the third outline for this movie. What did Kevin Williamson write? Well, it turns out, have you guys ever heard of a slasher film called April Fool's Day?
Yeah.
No.
Do you know the ending of that movie?
No.
Okay. So, not a bad movie. This is an ode to that movie, and I won't spoil the ending, but it is an ode to it. The third movie, Stab 3, was getting made, but it was getting made in Woodsboro. Everyone was there, and killings started to happen against teenagers again, and not to the cast. And then as the killings go on, eventually Sid runs back to Stu's house where the end film, where the ending was for the first movie. And all the dead bodies are sitting in the living room just there, like laying there. Like you've seen in so many horror movies before, the final person goes in and, oh my God, all the dead bodies from the movie are in one room. But then they all get up. And it turns out that all the teenagers are part of a cult. See, they worship Stu Mocker, who's still alive in prison.
Holy shit.
And he has created a cult following of people that are meant to manipulate, fuck with Sydney, and eventually kill her. And then she, I don't know, does something and stops Stu in the end. Wow. Eventually, he would take that and turn it into a TV show called The Following with Kevin Bacon.
Wow.
That's where that came from!
What the fuck? That's wild.
So, obviously, they didn't do that shit here. Instead, in the process of working on this script, something very important happened in 1999. You guys, think of it at all.
The Matrix?
Two kids walk into their high school with assault rifles.
Columbine!
And they shoot over a dozen people.
Columbine!
So that script went out the window.
Yeah, that's a no-go.
And Williamson is directing a movie. He can't write.
Page 50!
He can't write anything. And they're like, well, we are not doing this. We're not making a movie where a bunch of teenagers kill each other.
Page 109!
In high school.
Sid loads the AR-15!
Nope. Exactly. So they have to throw that out the window.
Except
so
maybe two.
Aaron Kruger has to write a script in 6 weeks.
Oh, so he had to pull a... David Ayer before David Ayer.
He had to come up with something in 6 weeks. Now, granted, Williamson came up with something in 2 days originally, but he also had years and years to rewrite it. He had to work with Wes Craven.
Kevin Williamson is like...
He is actually really fucking good and can write a lot. Now, Aaron Kruger, I've now realized, he is very good at writing on the spot, in the room. Do you need someone to make something on the fly with you? Or are things in trouble? Do you need someone there? Yeah. He helped write the second Transformers. When there was nothing there to write. So, like, his job has basically been that I have come to figure out. He's probably on Maverick to be there to just kind of, like, corral everything into one consistent thing. Yeah. But, like, it's his job to basically write a scene, give it to them, and shoot it on the day. Which is what they did every day on Scream 3. When Sarah's on the phone and says, Roman, how are we going to do this when we get lines every 15 minutes? Yeah, that's not a fucking lie, dude. Like, he's trying every day. And here's the thing. He watched the movie 1 and 2, like, once. He read the scripts as much as he could. But, like, he doesn't know these fucking characters. Wes Craven had to come in and fix this shit. Carrie Fisher came in and wrote her own part, by the way.
Carrie Fisher.
How did you feel about Carrie Fisher?
That was hilarious. That was
actually like that a lot. That was the one I had to keep under my... But she wrote her own scenes. Like... Everybody's doing. In fact, Aaron Kruger sucks at so badly at one point to the character stuff. Like, he helped craft the story, sure, but, like, once they figured out what the killer was, they needed him to help with the character stuff, which they only had Neve Campbell for 20 days. So you have to have more Gale and Dewey. So Aaron Kruger can't write them, so what does he do? He does the same fucking thing as the last movie.
Oh God! Because he doesn't know these characters.
Doesn't know any better.
And I'm fucking like, Columbine. That sucks. So
fucking Columbine.
So in that regard, he starts screwing up the characters. Eventually, the studio's like, "Get the fuck off our movie! You don't know these people." So they fire him and they go somewhere else. And they get the writer of Avatar to come in.
Wait.
It's a woman.
Avatar.
Avatar. No, Cameron's.
Oh.
Avatar.
Okay, all right, thank God.
Avatar. She comes in and she adds all the mother stuff. She adds all the femininity.
I thought Shyamalan had a freaking like co-writer. No, I was scared.
Get his fucking name out of this room.
Okay. No. I would have said the Sixth Sense or like Signs or something. But like, no. They have a woman come in and she like cleans all this up. The woman who wrote Avatar. And she's like fixes everything, but like this is on the fly so much that there are four filmed different openings to Cotton dying. Patrick Dempsey, they forgot about his character. They brought him in at the last second to film his stuff in that house. They completely forgot to put him in the ending.
What?
Yeah, like he came in the first day he came in. They're like, here's your lines. Like, Dempsey's a fucking pro. No wonder he was on TV for, like, 15 fucking years. Like, it's insane.
Trademark.
What they demanded of these people. What they tried to
remember your lines the day of.
Oh, my
just gosh. Kidding them.
You could still smell, like, the pencil lead off the freaking.
Jesus, fuck.
Yeah.
How do you forget him?
They always knew Roman. They eventually knew that Roman was going to be the killer. They eventually knew how they were going to wrap it around in the end. They wanted Emily Mortimer, the really pixie haircut chick, to be a part of it. They wanted her to be the girlfriend, and they wanted her to like.
I was getting those vibes. I was
that a little bit. Yeah, but the studio said no. I wonder why. Why have a woman who's a victim of sexual assault kill her sexual assault? Hey, who produced this, Chris?
The Weinsteins.
There you go.
Yep.
So this movie.
They their names showed up and I had to immediately just like, no.
So this movie did pretty well. It didn't do so well, but it did okay. It still made its profit back, less than the other two. And then that was it. They thought they were done. They weren't going to make any more for a while. And it won't be another 11 years until we get another one.
Mm.
And it kind of landed like a thud for audiences.
Really? 11 years after this one? From the fourth?
Scream 4 does not come out for another 11 years. Whoa. So this is the last bit of interesting thing about all of this. There's been discussion about like what happened on here, what was originally what. And there are deleted scenes that you can see on the DVD and stuff. And I think it was either last year or maybe the year before it. A 2 hour and 22 minute assembly cut of this movie showed up online. And the very first thing you see when it starts.
So they added 20 minutes?
They took away. Like, this is without credits. So you're looking at about a half an hour's worth of extra footage of this movie. And you think, oh, it's just the deleted scenes, but the deleted scenes on the DVD don't add up to that. And you're thinking, if it's the alternate stuff that they also show too, that doesn't work because Cotton would then die 4 times in a row in one movie. So, like, something else is going on here. When you start it, it even says, this is for educational purposes. And it is very interesting to watch this movie, Chris. You can see it for free online. It's on Internet Archive. And you get, you don't just get the deleted scenes. You get, like, a minute here, 15 seconds here, a line here, a little bit of an extension here. You see the swears. You see the cuts. You see the thing he showed to the MPAA to make sure he got an R rating. It is an editor's dream to notice how Wes Craven is the one who saved this movie. He is the one. I now understand based off his editing, he's the one who crafted this and cleaned this mess up as best as he fucking could.
Turn the fat.
Like, he knew the characters, he helped write the script. He shot the movie and knew how to make these things happen. Like, Kruger didn't write and Wes Craven does this. Like, and then not only that, they took all of the fucking violence out because of Columbine. They asked him to make it sillier. They asked him to make it less violent because of Columbine. All of the control that they had of this was wrenched away, and he still came up with a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
And there has been an absolute resurgence.
Totally.
Reappreciation of this movie since. But most people do consider it to be the weakest because it isn't really
the balance of horror and comedy that one likes. And also, there is no Williamson, and it looks like they lost a lot of control. And yeah, there's a, like, when she walks away from them in the assembly cut, she goes, I work better alone. And then they're like, nothing changes with Gail. Literally a second ago, Randy said on video that you shouldn't do that. In fact, the Randy video is amazing. In fact, the last thing Randy says is, I can't believe I'm dying before episode one comes out. I hope it sucks. The extension of the Randy video is pretty fucking good.
That's really funny.
He calls out Mickey in it, too. He's like, I think Mickey did it. He made a paper about this movie, and I was like, there's something off with this guy. So like even the Randy video is longer. It's just little bits and bobs. It's so interesting to watch. It's so interesting if, like, you want to be an editor. It's like, where's the fat? Where can things go? But honestly, there's some character stuff that I would like to keep here, but also, when you keep in mind who these people are supposed to be, yeah. It just doesn't work in some regards. Mm. It's so fucking interesting to watch. I really like this time around. I remember the first time I watched it, and I was like, eh. It's okay. It's kind of a goofy. What's Jane Silent Bob doing here? Watching it now, I really like it. I think they probably did the best they could adding the whole, this is the way that women are used in Hollywood.
Mm.
They could have hit that harder, and I just don't think the Weinsteins probably would have let them. I still like the meta stuff. I like the fact that they're in Hollywood. I like the fact that they're somewhere else. I agree. I hate the Gale and Dewey stuff being redundant and,
like,
repetitive.
I just really, really like the same thing. I really wish it was like a Tyler Durden moment where literally Nev just like looks straight into the camera, you know, like it's just like a weird, like I just thought of this as just like a Nev just like, instead just looked directly into the camera and was just like,
groovy.
Yeah, something like that. Like something referential.
I feel like in this, when he's like giving his speech about his whole life, it's like, he took everything from me. Everything you had, I want. She's like, oh, shut the fuck up. I've literally heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just fucking die already. Like, I do love that she's just
I was waiting for the audience laugh.
But there's a couple of things here that I'm glad they took out. Like, when she gets the phone call from him at her place, she, like, grabs a gun and shuts the door and, like, goes on the ground and, like, cowers and cries for a while. And I'm like, that's not Sid. That, especially when she walks into that police station.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
I've always thought the edit from that call to the next scene is weird. Mm-hmm. But I would rather take that over her being on the ground. I'm like, that's not Sid.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, this is one of the best arcs of Sid's story. Like, Sid has the most serious, interesting character part in this whole movie. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love the fact that she's alone. I love the fact that she's helping people. I love the fact that the moment she realizes she's not safe anymore, she's just like, I'm surrounded by friends. I'm staying in a police station. I won't stop. Like, where are we going? And then when it comes to the end, he's like,
come here. Being proactive.
Yeah, like, come here and save your friend. She's like, absolutely. And she, like, totally fakes him out with a second gun. Like, that shit's super cool to me.
Mm.
I love that stuff. The weakest thing for me in this movie, this is where it collapses the most, and that is the end. Like, I think it's tight. Like the first movie, the last 40 minutes of this movie, literally on the dot 40 minutes, is when they enter the house for Roman's birthday at Milton's house. And then 20 minutes after that is when Roman stands in front of Sydney in the screening room with the dead body thing over him that his mom, that her mom had on him, and he's about to reveal himself, and the fight's about to start to happen. I love that Sydney faces him on her own, and I love that she fights. There's even another edit that looks really stupid. I like the one that they went with. I hate that Gale and Dewey the entire time are just trying to break into the library door. I think that's
the
so
whole time.
Boring. It's, I wish they would do something else.
I was getting confused at that point.
But just like, pull the same freaking like book again. Exactly.
Yeah, they were trying for way too long.
Like, that's when I feel like they were, like, really scrambling at the end of the day. We're like, we really are just trying desperately to figure out what to do here. And I don't think they, if, particularly when the movie basically starts with Gale and Dewey and then basically becomes Sydney's story in the second half, which is fine, but you got to do something better with Dewey and Gale.
Dewey.
But that's another thing, when he lands on the stairs and he passes out and Gale's in the basement with him and he's just sitting there passed out. That's just the car scene. Kruger just read the scene. He was like, how can I do this again? But how, like, I love the fact that Dewey gets hit in the head. That's Craven with the knife. He's like, what does every scary movie do? Let's just have him get hit in the head with a knife.
When he threw that knife and the blunt end, like the handle end hit, I was like, okay. Dewey's immortal, probably.
Yeah, he's got immense plot armor.
So yeah, that is the story here. A complete, utter fucking mess. Studio manipulation, schedule conflicts, and the universe stepping in at a time when this movie was already kind of losing the era in which this would be good. 3 years from now, it'll be The Ring. And everything's back to science fiction. Everything's back to supernatural ghosts and fantasy and stuff like that. And like that's going to run the train. And then it's going to be torture porn. And then after torture porn, maybe Scream comes back again. And they see what they, and we get to see what they do there. But this is a mess that I think Craven turned into a good time. I think he did it on set. I think he did it in the edit. And like when you listen to the commentary, they can't get too in-depth, but they do talk about how they had a good time and how one day they'd like to come back and make more.
11 years, though.
It's very, very obvious that this did not turn out the way they wanted. And I ask myself, is the Stu thing even a good idea? I never watched The Following. A lot of people said that shit was bad. But it lasted for like 3 seasons. So who knows?
Wow.
I am intrigued. But I wanted your guys' opinions first because everyone knows that history. This is the least liked of the franchise. It is the one everyone has the most jaded, annoying, ironic opinions about. I wanted you guys to watch it and I wanted you guys to give your like earnest opinions about it. You should be able to be like, there's no Kevin Williamson? Well, I'm not in. Like,
yeah.
I wanted you guys to get the credits. If you read the credits and you were like, oh shit, something's off here, then you'd know. But you didn't. You just watched the movie. And I wanted you guys to give a fair before I was here and like, this is, everything's bad. Shit went bad. It's not pure. It's not a Scream movie. That's not true. You walked away and you went, I want to see the other two again.
Yeah.
That's a fucking amazing thing to come out of this. And it's because somebody was still there streamlining what this is supposed to be. And it was a pretty important part of it.
Thank God for Wes. Really saved it. Damn.
I also think it's the worst soundtrack of the bunch.
Yeah, they didn't even go with like a good Creed song.
Nope.
It's just a random.
Can you take me higher?
It's not really that kind of movie though. I like the chorus of What If.
My sacrifice.
I even like the bridge of What If, but I don't like the rest of it. And every song on the soundtrack sounds the same. Even the Incubus song.
The needle drops in this are just even more confusing than the credits in the second movie.
It just tells you that we're
the credits in the second movie, the songs in that, I was like, this is just hot shit.
We're just done with the 90s now. The 90s are gone. We're starting the very confusing,
no one knows what to do,
beginning of the
2000s. Yeah, that's fair.
Where it's new metal and pop, like bubblegum pop. We wouldn't get saved from that until like White Stripes and Strokes came along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of the soundtrack. It like I wasn't the biggest fan of the other two, but the other two had at least like 90s gems in it that something. I enjoyed. That first soundtrack is pretty great. But I the more I think about this, the more I have problems with it. But it's not necessarily with the plot, and it isn't necessarily Roman. I think Roman's a good idea. I also think that having him be like I think the slut shaming of the mom still sucks, but I do like this movie.
It kept it going.
I do like this movie does make it clear that she is a victim. The only thing it doesn't clarify very well is how her sexual exploits in Woodsboro were either a reaction to what happened to her or she just always was sexual. And they don't really clarify that well because like they do that well in Twin Peaks. Like Laura Palmer is
Twin Peaks did it best.
Yeah, she's sexually explorative and she uses it as a control move for both herself and other people because she is an abused victim. And it only seems to have happened to her once and then she got rid of her child and then she abandons her child. Like Maureen should not have died, should not have been raped and murdered specifically for these reasons. But it just, and I think Sydney understands that because one of the things she says to him is like, none of this fucking matters. You kill people because you like to. That's all. That's all this is. So it's not like she walks away. She says it at the beginning of the movie with her father. She's like, why did mom have so many secrets? And then when more secrets are revealed, she's like, you're just a fucking piece of shit. Like, you're just the worst. Like, you just want to do this.
Yeah.
You just chose to. So, like, Sydney has no illusions about her mother anymore, but also she doesn't blame her for this. Right. She understands it is the choice of psychopaths to commit these actions.
Many psychopathic
people. And
like, too many.
She gets that, which, again, is growth on her character's part that I really love. So, yeah, I think this is my least of the favorite, but it's not as awful as people say it is.
No, this was okay. It wasn't bad.
It is a good time for one thing. But, I don't know if I was necessarily scared at any point.
No, I was definitely not.
No. I do think that the creepy mom imagery is pretty good. I actually like the house scene here with Sydney. When she busts out the door and there's no room there, that's pretty fucking great.
Oh, I loved that. That's one of my favorite
shots. And then baited him and then friggin' tossed him off. He's lucky that fucking bed was there.
Yeah. No, I got creeped out in the second movie, just with those killings. Mm. That creeped me out, but like, this, I felt no threat. This did feel more like a Scooby-Doo movie than anything else.
Yeah, I think...
That's what people are saying. That doesn't make it a bad thing, though.
No, it just doesn't make it scream. Yeah. And that's the thing.
It just makes it squirm.
11 years between this and the next one.
And that's the thing, Chris, like... I understand these three movies and the fourth one to a pretty large extent very well. I put you in these boots for a reason. I think that this movie is meant to help you with that. And you came to your own conclusion of not necessarily going forward, but going back. So if you do, that's awesome. Because I think they are rewarding rewatches. Oh, particularly as the lore gets further going.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew you were going to like this one. And I hope this gives you more fuel to go for it because, again, 5 and 6, they're made by filmmakers that I don't know. I know one movie that they made, and it's pretty funny horror. It is very, it's a very good time. I liked it a lot. It's gory. It's fun. So I'm interested to see what they do with it. And I'll watch it, and if I think it's, like, legit, like, nerve-wracking bad time for you, we'll talk about it, but... I wanted you to see this one. I thought this one would be something that would be enjoyable. And I didn't think I was going to walk away from it and be like, you should see the assembly cut if you want to know how filmmaking works. Because that shit's nuts. Like, that's a peek behind the curtain I never thought I would get about a movie I never thought I would want to know about. Like, you hear about messes, and then you see that thing, and you're like, wow. It's not that it was a bigger mess. It's just like you chiseled this down to make it as much of one thing and as much as a Scream movie as possible. Like, there's a level of silliness and there's a level of character intrigue that you can cut to still have it be considered a Scream movie. But then there's a point where it's like, wow, we're just having fun here, whatever the fuck this is. And, like, he balanced that really, really well. Really well.
Mm.
I liked it a lot in that regard. So now that you guys know what happened, is there anything?
I now hate it.
I'm just kidding. This is like the least Scream of the Screams so far.
Sure, yeah. I like what it did with Sid.
A part of me feels bad. Like, a lot of them probably felt like, this is it. This is the third one. This is the third installment. We're done.
Right? We're going out like this?
I would feel bad if I was a part of this movie and this was the last one. I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
You ended with a dud.
Yeah.
Like, compared to the other two? I mean, compared to just the first one? Are you fucking kidding me? You compare, if you skip the middle one, if you skip two and compare 3 to 1, I would literally, I'd quit. I'd be done with it. I would never fucking believe that 1 and 3 are in the same universe if 2 didn't exist. 2 is like the bridge between tone shifts.
I mean, to me, 2 sort of feels like Civil War to Avengers.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron. It's like we're continuing the story a little bit more, but we are kind of our own thing. And I don't really feel like it's that much of a separate thing, except for that it was the first one I watched. It feels so much like that first movie because they were made a year apart. They feel like 90s films, and this film feels like something different. And it is an outlier. But
I don't dislike it. I like...
I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny, and I enjoyed it. Yeah. I did not think... I was not scared, like, I was creeped out in the first, and even the second one.
No, I think it doubles down my respect for Craven as a filmmaker way more. It makes me love Sydney more. Man. Like, Kruger really gave a great story for Sydney. Unless that story was, like, in some degree in... Williamson's original idea, I don't know, but like I like what Kruger did here for her, and it out of all the movies, I think it has the best like arc for her, because in the first movie she's a piece like everyone else is in a puzzle that needs to move. In the second movie there was growth for her character, but she also was like still very indecisive about what was going on because of the like subconscious things that were happening that we knew about and we could understand that she just was unwilling to accept. In this movie, she is facing her trauma. She never has a moment where she's like, I'm going to face him. Like, he shows up and then she immediately is like, I'm here. Let's do it. Like, in fact, they're like, what did he say? She's like, ah, how are you? What are you going to do? Here's how you're going to die. Like, she's quipping about it. She is Ash. Like, I think that's a really good comparison. Yeah, I don't...
Well, in fact, was it the same last name? Just saying.
I don't dislike it, but this is the one I was the most looking forward to because I wanted to know what happened. Like, what the fuck happened? I knew it was a mess. Now we know. Yep. And so, like...
This wasn't just a mess, man. This was, like, a hot pile of garbage.
Everything was against them. This was, like, trying to move a, like, tiny rowboat in a storm.
To put a positive spin on it, I think it's a miracle this movie exists.
Exactly. This should not have been made.
Like, it's competent. Despite it all, it's at least a competent film.
Yeah.
Gotta respect that.
I feel like Kruger is called in to fix things like this. So I'm not walking away being like, you're not Williamson, you didn't write the character. I'm walking like, dude, that sounds like one of the most stressful jobs ever. And then
my hair would fall out if I had to do that shit.
At a certain point, you just didn't understand these people and everyone's like, they just
wouldn't look like Alex at the end.
So yeah, like... I'm intrigued that I liked it as much as I did too. And I thought it would be like performances and stuff like Dewey and Gale. I think I like Gale in this. I think the end of the story is her being like, I don't need Hollywood. I don't need any of this regard.
For a while, she started to feel more like the main character.
At the beginning, yeah.
Because there's just more screen time with her.
Yes, that is true.
But now we know why there was more screen time.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Happy birthday!
Is it my birthday?
It's your birthday!
Is it my birthday?
Why are you checking your dick?
Yay!
I would have brought confetti, but...
How do you feel?
Older.
Really?
Yes.
I never feel older when I'm... 1 year, dude? Damn! I thought you were gonna, like, clone yourself.
Well, I think he's just relieving a hemorrhoid.
Yep. Anyway,
Scoot 3.
Cool. Yeah. Happy birthday, man.
Fuck. I would say when it came to this film, yeah, there aren't very many memorable kills. Although I do like when he takes Tyrone and he like shakes him with the rug and he falls on his neck.
That was really funny and then immediately sad.
Yeah.
Like, that looked like
that was a hell of a bump, though. For the stuntman.
I think Emily Mortimer is underutilized, but I like when she's like, Yeah, she's pretty... I don't think she nails a lot of the stressful scenes as much as I would like. Mm-hmm. But I think she's pretty cute. And Parker Posey's great. Walburton's great. David Arquette said at the very end when they were at the cabin, Ghostface should come in and just kill everyone. It's like you're going to go out with a bang.
That's funny.
That
wouldn't make any sense, but that's funny.
Yeah, that's Scream 3. That is Scream 3.
Wow.
Any extra thoughts? Anything?
How far do we get?
We have 40 minutes left.
Oh, wow. So they're just about to go to the house.
Mm-hmm.
To Milton's house.
All right. How do we milk this house?
To go there. Exactly. I even milked this for 40 more minutes.
I mean, there's not a lot of story to talk about. Like, what you guys got about out of it is what I think you can get out of it, which is a good time. The moment you start thinking about it, you're like, yeah.
I'm most excited, like, what's this fourth one going to be? It's 11 years later. People are going to look older.
Yes, they will.
Like, you can't get around that shit.
Yes, they will.
So who's gonna come back? Who's done? Who's done forever? Like, I don't know.
Who's too good for this?
Yeah, like, it's a whole decade. You could have you could have a 10-year-old at this point.
Decade plus.
Plus right. one.
Grade?
Okay, I gave the first one an A+. I gave the second one, like, an A-. This is, like, B-minus territory for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. We're on B.
Like, I don't think it deserves a C. I think it's still... I still had laughs, and I thought it was fun. And it really got me. I was really questioning who the killer was. And
A+.
That part still held true for, like, a Scream movie for me.
That is true. The whodunit aspect.
Like, the whodunit was still there. It still felt Scooby-Doo-like. Like, it was me, the Ninja Turtle guy, the whole time. Yeah. Like, and in the twist, like, the soap opera, I'm your brother! that made me laugh. So I still like that. That's why I'm not going C. I think it's like a B minus sort of.
I agree. I think B- is pretty fair. A+ S-tier effort, despite all the shit.
That's an A+. Wes Craven gets an A+ on this.
Yeah, Wes Craven gets an A+ for making this work. getting this to print.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm thinking around B. I think that alone gets it out of a B-. If getting it to B for me.
If you rewatch the other ones, will we get new grades?
More than likely.
Okay.
Okay. That's an immediate response. More than likely.
All right. Are you excited for 4?
Again, I'm very, 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 very curious about 4.
I'm so fucking, I keep saying this and I need a knock on wood because I'm so happy I don't know anything.
Same. Like, this is I didn't know anything going into
it. It's a fucking Christmas miracle. I don't know anything about anything. Yeah. About any of the movies. I don't even know who's going to be in the next movie. In fact, I had Alex play number 3 for me so I didn't have to see the characters on the cover. I just didn't even want to know.
Luckily, Scream 4 does not have a character cover poster.
Cool.
It's just the mask turning into a knife.
Oh!
Well, that's just...
Well, now we know that they didn't fucking get rid of those costumes.
Yep.
Damn it.
Easiest job in the world. Get rid of the device that changes voices.
Think about
the costume.
Let's play devil's advocate. Think of all the people that are going to be jobless now. All the children in the sweatshops making those
costumes. Think of how many different costumes they can work on. Think of how many different costumes they can work on.
Where are those kids going to go? School? No. You got to put them in some other sweatshop.
Think of how many different costumes they can make, though.
They have to feed their families, man. Come on.
You're awful. You're terrible.
Real life. It really sucks, though.
It does.
You should really stop.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay. So, Scream 3. We're halfway home. So, next time, Scream 4, 11 years later.
What would you want? Anybody have any guesses, expectations? Do you want anyone to come back? Do you want anyone to not come back? And I'm talking about through all the movies.
I mean, I feel like it's not the same without Neve.
Nev, sorry. Nev Campbell.
The double, the E throws me off. The E at the end of Nev.
Nev.
Neve. Anyway.
I'm with Peter.
At this point, I feel weird if she's not in it.
Which is funny because for the first 2, you're like, I don't understand how she's going to be around. I don't get this. This is fucking weird.
And that makes sense. She just can't catch a fucking break.
Nope.
No, yeah.
Like, go under witness protection.
Yeah, you can't.
Go underground.
That's why I feel like...
Dig a hole.
That's why my theory of... Oh, God, you guys are going to have to remind me of her name. The new chick, Wednesday.
Jenna Ortega?
Yeah,
Jenna
Ortega. That's why... My gut feeling is that she has to be related. She's like the daughter. I mean, the fourth one's 11 years. Who knows if they're good, if they these actors look young enough to where they can say maybe it's been 5 years or 8 years or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's why my gut feeling is like she's going to have a relation and she might be the kid.
Okay.
It's been, so far it's been related to one chick this whole time. It all ties back to her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it would, I would be interested if it wasn't revolved around her, but like, you're going to really have to grab
But me. Like, here's the thing. It starts out, she started out as the victim
for her, like, the recipient of her mother's sins, apparently. In the second movie, it was, again, she was, the mom was going after her not just for what her mom did, but because Sydney killed her son. And this one, the brother's like, you took everything from me because now you're the star and everyone talks about you. Like, she's a final
girl. Get over it, dude.
If anything, right? He's going after her because she's not dead yet. So, like,
I would like for her to come back. And if she doesn't come back, whatever reason that is, and you'll explain it, like, whatever, but I would feel weird if she's not a part of it. At least in some sense. If she doesn't turn into, like, she doesn't turn into her mother, but, like, she's the mother of someone else, or she's related to some, like,
yeah.
It feels like it has to keep within the family now.
Yeah.
Maybe more of her dad. I'd like to see more of her dad.
That'd be nice.
But, I mean,
we'll see.
We
who else is left to kill this poor woman?
We'll see.
God damn, man.
All right, let's get out of here. Scream 4. 11 years later.
I can't fucking wait to scream 4 times. And then 5.
You get Dune, End of Evangelion, and Scream 4. Oh
my god. All right, say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
What's your favorite oops? Oh, wait. Oh, God.